Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The police will remove that man. There will be no outbursts allowed in this committee, either for or against the nominee.
There is a strong tradition of social justice in the Catholic Church that had a profound influence on me.
He'll try to reach common ground on issues they both agree on, not on issues important to the Catholic Church, such as the life issues and embryonic stem cell research and the family.
The great Western heresy that we can be saved as individuals. That any of us alone can be in right relationship with God.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, many have been shocked at how fast same-sex marriage has moved on the political front. You got Iowa, you've got states out on the Eastern Seaboard that are accepting same-sex marriage or variants of same-sex marriage in a political sense, either through the courts or through the legislature. What has gone somewhat unnoticed is how fast same-sex marriage is moving, not on the political front, but on the religious front, in particular in mainline Protestant denominations, ones that at one time were kind of the bastion of morality, of values, and of all those things that Americans hold near and dear, like the institution of marriage, the one-time defenders of those things. Now, their theological descendants have deviated from their ancestors' ideas. And in Protestant denominations like the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the United Methodist Church, and the list goes on, mainline Protestant denominations, same-sex marriage is in some cases moving faster, more aggressively than in the political arena. How is this and why is this? And what does it mean for the future of same-sex marriage in America and in the church? We're going to do a little audio open lines here in the first half hour of this Monday's program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little later on Issues, Etc., after some audio open lines and listening to a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly report on mainline Protestants and same-sex marriage, Kelly Klagas will join us. We're going to talk about the efficacy, that is, the effect and the power and the benefits of baptism according to Holy Scripture. She's author of a new book titled Water with the Word, A Baptism Q&A. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us in the second hour of the program, at least for the first few minutes, to talk about President Obama's visit and audience last Friday with Pope Benedict XVI. And then Dr. Kim Riddlebarger joins us. We're going to pick up where we left off on Friday, part three of our four-part daily series on end times teachings. Today, we'll talk about the millennial reign of Christ. Is it a literal 1,000 years? Is Christ going to sit on a throne in Jerusalem? Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, Chuck Missler, so many of the teachers will tell us that this is a literal 1,000-year political reign, national, not only national, but international, global reign of Christ, an enforced peace, if you will. They differ on the details that we should be waiting for after a rapture and a tribulation. Is that true, and is that taught in Scripture? We'll answer that question with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger coming up later on Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, July the 13th, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Audio Open Lines is always open for your questions and your comments as we talk about mainline Protestantism and same-sex marriage in this half hour, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, 877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, as you listen to this, think about a few things that may not have occurred to you before. One I mentioned before, how quickly the issue of same-sex marriage is moving in churchly circles when most of the focus is on political circles. Why it is that the agenda seems to have taken hold in certain denominations and not others, and what kind of arguments are being put forth within those Protestant denominations for the acceptance of and the institutionalization of same-sex marriage. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's the report from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly.
Boston's historic Church of the Covenant has been an important place for Anne Crane and Sarah Parole. The lesbian couple had their first date there in the late 1970s, and by the time Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, the two had been active members for more than 25 years. So a church wedding seemed the obvious choice.
In particular, we wanted to be married at our home church with our community and our family and friends.
But it was complicated. Church of the Covenant is duly aligned with two mainline denominations, the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA. And while the UCC has no problem marrying same-sex couples, it's against national Presbyterian policy.
Well, it's painful to know that the church that I've been a part of all my life does not recognize our relationship and our marriage as being a legitimate marriage.
Church of the Covenant worked it out so that a retired UCC minister conducted the ceremony and the Presbyterian side of the church officially stayed out of it. Crane and Perrault said their wedding was beautiful and meaningful, but not quite everything they would have planned.
I felt badly because there were people that we would have liked to include in our ceremony who could not participate because they were ordained Presbyterian clergy. There was a real loss there.
We are a couple.
For decades, mainline denominations have been wrestling over issues surrounding homosexuality, whether to ordain gay clergy, and whether to recognize and bless same-sex unions. Now that six states have legalized gay marriage, those battles are taking on a new urgency.
No more ignorance!
Some church members are pushing the denominations to reassess their policies, while others are fighting to hold the line.
Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines. We're listening to a report from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly about the advance of the same-sex marriage agenda in Protestant denominations. The two that are mentioned so far, the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA, obviously have some differences, and yet there are congregations like this one mentioned in the story that are dually aligned with both of those denominations. That's not the only strange marriage. And I'm not talking here about same-sex marriage, strange marriage made by the ecumenical covenants between these Protestant denominations. The Episcopal Church USA has a far more, what would you say, avant-garde, far more progressive idea about homosexual behavior practice, and then also the ordination of gay clergy and same-sex marriage. They're pushing hard. They met this last week in the General Convention. They are pushing hard to see it fully incorporated and fully affirmed in their church practices, their liturgy, and all of their policies. And you say, well, I'm not a member of the Episcopal Church USA. And yet you were probably, if you're a member of one of the mainline Protestant denominations, in some sort of an ecumenical fellowship with the Episcopal Church USA. When the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America entered into official fellowship with the Episcopal Church USA, guess what? The bishops in the Episcopal Church USA became, in effect, the bishops, or at least bearing the same power of the bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And even though the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is moving slower on the issue of same-sex marriage, it's moving in the same direction, but slower than the Episcopal Church USA. In effect, the policies now that prevail in one church body can also prevail in the other with that kind of fellowship arrangement. And what happens? It's another way of advancing the same-sex marriage agenda in Protestant denominations. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Care to react? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, an advocacy group that supports conservative positions within mainline denominations.
The church shouldn't just go along with what the wider society demands of it, but the church is ideally supposed to be faithful to timeless teachings that have been presented to the church through its scripture and through its traditions.
To have and to hold.
To have
Currently, while the Unitarians in the UCC conduct gay marriages, mainline Protestant denominations, as a rule, don't officially allow it. Clergy who participate in same-sex weddings could face church trials and even risk being defrocked.
I hereby pronounce you husband and husband.
Traditionalists within those churches will strive to help to ensure that there is as much fidelity as possible by the clergy to the official teachings.
In the United Methodist Church, 83-year-old Richard Harding has a long history of activism for gay rights. He helped found Reconciling Retired Clergy, a network of retired pastors willing to perform gay marriages.
There's not a whole lot that they can do to retired clergy, and there's a whole lot they can do to an active pastor that they can't do to us, and that's why we're stepping in.
Harding says he believes what he's doing is the right thing, so he's willing to risk any repercussions.
We could be defrocked. I would be now sitting here as Mr. Harding instead of Reverend Harding. And in Massachusetts, a layperson can go for a day to the State House and get permission to officiate at a marriage. So we'll still be able to do it, only I just wouldn't be a pastor anymore.
Another way around the policies that a church may set up, a church body or a denomination may set up to prevent same-sex marriage. There's a retired clergyman. As he says, look, I'm retired, I'm vested, they can't do much to me. They could defrock me, but then I could just go to the courthouse and get their authorization to do that, and I'd still be doing it. Another tactic used within these denominations, these mainline Protestant denominations, to advance the institutionalization, the acceptance, the affirmation of same-sex marriage. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines this Monday afternoon on Issues Etc., July the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. When we come back, more from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on mainline Protestants and same-sex marriage. Stay tuned. Concordia Publishing House has a new devotional for men titled Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms. It's a great resource for individual and group Bible study. Browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or purchase Blessed is the Man by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand. We're talking about mainline Protestant denominations and same-sex marriage. I imagine if you took the phrase I just uttered and you spoke it into the ear of someone like the Wesleys, the fathers of Methodism, and told them, the church body in America that will be your theological descendants will be in some form or another approving and actually doing same-sex marriage in the 21st century. They would not have believed it, and yet it's true. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk with Kelly Clagas about the efficacy, the power, and the benefits of baptism. Our in-studio email address on this Monday afternoon, the 13th of July, as we talk about Protestant denominations and same-sex marriage, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Listening in St. Louis, here's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
You know, this is what you're talking about is not the problem. It's a symptom.
How do you mean?
Well, okay, the basic really underlying problem is the fact that you have a bunch of church bodies who want to redefine Christianity by redefining what sin is, by redefining who Christ is, who God is. What they're doing is by doing all these redefinitions, they can redefine it into a way they want. And I kind of, my thought process is on the evangelical side, you know, they like doing a lot of redefinitions also with these mega churches and all that on what church is. And so we're constantly, both sides are redefining it. One takes it to a more of a liberal side. One will be, quote, culturally conservative Christians. But aren't they, in some respects, doing the exact same thing?
Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing, Steve. You're quite right when you point out that the capitulation to culture, that is allowing culture to call the shots in the church, be it on moral issues, a la mainline Protestant liberalism, or on issues of, say, marketing, entertainment, what people want, felt needs, a la so-called conservative evangelicalism. It's just capitulation. Now, the liberals tend to capitulate to high culture, to kind of the, you know, either inside the Beltway or kind of Madison Avenue high culture, East Coast liberalism in culture. But the so-called conservative evangelicals, it's more pop culture, but it's still a capitulation to culture. It's still hooking your star to, or hooking your wagon to the wandering star of culture and allowing it to call the shots in the church. And in the end, it ends up in the same place, and that is doing damage to the message of the church has, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so the basic problem is people are getting upset about the symptoms, but they're unwittingly or unwilling to really look at the underlying cause.
Well, Steve, you're right. Thank you very much. And what do we need to do? We need to, when something like this comes up, we need to do exactly what Steve did, think it through, and say so-called conservative evangelicalism, look here, the details may differ, but your strategy is the same as mainline Protestant liberalism. Now, the only difference is that mainline Protestant liberalism has been at it for about 25, 30 years longer than American evangelicalism. But if you track their steps, they're really headed in the same direction, not just morally, not just on moral issues, but on other issues, theological issues as well. Kathy's calling from St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi, Pastor. I think, too, another underlying way of looking at it would be that the individuals who wanted to get married, the piece that you played, they were concerned about what they wanted as Christians, or as they feel they're Christians. And what I think ultimately the problem is, you know, the emphasis is on what the Christian wants and what the Christian wants the Bible to say instead of on Christ and on the Lord and what he has told us and what he says. So ultimately the focus is on the Christian and not the Christ, whether it's in the liberal branch of churches or whether it's in the evangelical branch. Whether you focus, if you take your focus off of Christ and his redemption and what he has done for us and what he wants for us, and put it on the Christian, we're going to ultimately, you know, screw ourselves over.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I think that's exactly how it ought to be put. Look, the premise is whether it is the lesbian couple who wants to have a church marriage once marriage is civilly legal in their church and has to work a way around to get a church marriage for themselves, or it's the kind of average suburbanite couple that comes with their 2.5 children to a big box church and says that, but they both say the same thing. This church is here to meet my felt needs. This church must accommodate itself in its message and its practices to what I feel I need. One of the greatest pieces of mischief perpetrated in the American church is this whole notion of the church meeting people's felt needs. Just show me in the Bible where the apostles or Christ himself would counsel us to change the church in its practices, in its message, in its outlook, in its stances, whatever you may, in its positions, taken on issues, moral, theological, whatever they be, in order to accommodate the felt needs of the consumer. It's nowhere in Scripture. But it's exactly the same impulse that drives both progressive liberalism in the church and so-called conservative evangelicalism. The church is here as a wax nose to be bent around until everyone likes the way it looks. And if that everyone is suburban America, you get a big box church. And if that everyone is urbanite, the kind of the white wine crowd, then you get a liberal church. But the church ends up standing for nothing and trying to accommodate itself to whatever people feel they need. More from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on Protestant denominations and same-sex marriage.
Please do come. And don't
at Church of the Covenant, Interim Minister Jennifer Wegter McNally is an ordained Presbyterian pastor. She says her congregation has been put in a difficult position of trying to maintain support for gay members while still respecting the national denomination.
We have long history and we're very active. And so I think there is a lot of really thoughtful, hard conversation about how do we be prophetic and remain faithful and connected to the churches that are a larger community.
So far, they've been able to do that by keeping same-sex weddings solely under the jurisdiction of the UCC part of their church. Other congregations don't have that option. Episcopal clergy also can't conduct gay marriages. In an effort to be even-handed, many Massachusetts Episcopal churches aren't doing any weddings, gay or straight. Instead, Reverend Pam Wernz at Boston's Emmanuel Episcopal Church says they provide a blessing for couples who are married by the state.
That could happen separately. It could happen at the courthouse, and then a couple comes here for the ceremony. Or it can happen in the same ceremony, where a justice of the peace presides over the first part of the service, and the priest presides over the blessing and often a Eucharist celebration.
The compromise may have helped circumvent some of the denominational difficulties, but Wernz says it was still painful for many members.
There were people that left the church in feeling a lot of sorrow and betrayal that the Episcopal Church couldn't move as fast as I think it needed to move when same-sex marriage was legalized.
UCC Minister Reinie Abele, who does perform gay weddings, says churches need to be better at addressing social concerns.
Churches generally are not the leading edge of cultural change in our society. They are often not the engine, but the caboose.
I couldn't have said that better myself. Now, he meant it in the sense that churches ought to be the engine out there pushing for changes out in advance of even the culture. He kind of decries the fact that the church is the caboose and not the engine on the train of culture because the churches should be moving faster. They should be out ahead of the rest of society. I don't think the church should be on the train at all. It shouldn't be the engine or the caboose. The church should not be on the train of popular culture, high culture, whatever it may be. The church does not allow itself to be guided down the track of culture. The church has its own guiding star, if you will. And it is not the wandering star of popular culture, high culture, whatever it may be. It is God's word. Now, a couple of our listeners said they cut themselves off from Christ. And when you take your focus off of Christ, well, that is also a symptom. Taking your focus off of God's word and what God's word says the church is and should be and should say leads to a multitude of compromises, an endless series of compromises. Elaine in Canada says it's getting more and more difficult to invite people to attend church because the historical church is becoming smaller and smaller, and some of these churches would do more harm than good. quite true, but remain faithful nonetheless. Bruce says the whole issue seems to come down to authority of God's word and a related principle. That word has an objectively comprehensible meaning accessible by anyone in any time who possesses it in translation. The reigning philosophy claims to view all humanity as one while denying the real communication, either from man to man or from God to man. Meaning is pure subjectivism? Okay, then we are headed into isolation and alienation. All those who hate me love death, says Bruce. Well, look, when the church cuts itself off from the authority of God's word, whether it be those liberal denominations that are honest about it and just say, look, we don't listen to the Bible on this issue anymore, on this issue or any others, or the less honest compromise and cutting off of the authority of God's word that takes place in the big box American evangelicalism, where they claim to honor God's word, they claim to still possess the authority of God's word and still obey the authority of God's word, and yet in practice they don't. Look, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to deny the authority of God's word. But do that, and you lose the cross, you lose Christ, and you lose what the church is ultimately all about. When we come back, we're going to talk about the efficacy, the power, and the benefit of baptism. Kelly Klages will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click Promote. Find out about the Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Bernard Nathanson ran the largest abortion mill in the Western Hemisphere. He's done more than 75,000 abortions. He was still an atheist when he became pro-life and stopped doing abortions. The reason, he said, was advancements in technology like ultrasound, showing the unborn as a member of our community. Dr. Nathanson is now a Christian, but at one time mentored George Tiller, who was recently killed. Considering all we know about the humanity of the unborn child, he can't understand why Mr. Tiller didn't face this reality and stop killing unborn babies. If you don't, Dr. Nathanson said, you're just a creature of political ideology. I'm thankful God touched the heart of Bernard Nathanson, and he's now a beautiful witness for Christ and for life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.